this up.
Because once I start rolling on this, I might not quit.
We want to pray for Deborah's mom, who is having hip surgery today at 2. I think we should pray for Florida, as Tropical Storm Adelia has made landfall as a Category 3. I have a praise. I forgot to say that one first. Eli Warren was one of the men that was injured in the Wynnewood refinery fire.
Okay.
He's up.
Wow.
And he's been moved to rehabilitation.
Good.
We want to continue to pray for his recovery. And then I have a friend, Christy Hyder, who hasn't been feeling well, and she's having some tests run. And we want to pray for the Hammer family, Sarah and Brent's daughter, Ashley. I don't know how many people know Sarah Hammer, but she has been battling breast cancer. Her young daughter went to be tested for the gene that makes them.
Right.
And so the doctors wanted to get baselines, and she went to the dermatologist. They found a spot, and they diagnosed her with stage 2 nodular melanoma. From what I understood, they removed the spot and a bit around it to make sure they got it all. And I'm not sure if that's going to be the end of it. Okay. But we need to pray for the whole family because they've already been going through a lot for several years with cancer.
Okay. And then can we add my sister and my mom? They're traveling to Oklahoma City today for my sister's doctor's appointment.
Okay.
Is this pre-op?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of prayers today. A lot of people in need. And that's okay. That's what God is here for today. When we look to God with our request, then he sees that we understand him to be the great power that he is. Let's begin for praying for Deborah's mom having hip surgery. Father God, we just pray for Deborah's mom today. Lord, we know that she fell and broke her hip, and we know that that is a very painful time, and it's also a very difficult time of recovery. But we pray today, Lord, that your hand would be upon her and bring divine healing to her body. Bring a healing, O Lord, that touches her and keeps her going. Father, we pray for all the families in Florida, the tropical storm that's coming across. Lord, we just pray that today that they are protected and they are safe. And Lord, that you would just be with them in this time. And Father God, we give a praise report today for Eli. He was one of the men that were injured in the Wynnewood refinery. But Lord, we just pray that you would bless him even greater still. God, cause a situation, a crossroad, if you will, in his life. Lord, helping him to stand and declare and give the testimony of faith in you, Lord. We pray for Brent and Sarah Hammer's daughter. Lord, we pray for this Ho Hammers family today, Lord, that you would just minister to them in all the different ways. We know that cancer's been found, but cancer is not such a negative word to you, Lord. It's not any different to you. You are the healer of all diseases. You're the healer of all sicknesses, all infirmities, all infections. Lord, you are the healer. By the stripes upon your back, we are healed. It's a process that's already been paid for and taken care of. And with every drop of blood, Lord, we pray for the Hammer family today. We plead the blood of Jesus to cover them. We plead the blood of Jesus to pour to them. Lord, let this stop. Let this disease stop in its tracks right where it is, Lord, that it will not proceed to the next generation or the next generation, and it will stop in the generation that it is in. Lord, we pray for divine supernatural healing in those bodies right now this day. Father, we pray for Christy today, just having tests run and different things that are going through her life. Lord, it's just as much with her as it is with any others. Lord, I pray that you would touch and heal her body today. Father God, we pray for Eva and Renee, Lord, as they travel to Oklahoma City to the doctor's appointment. God, we are so thankful for your many, many blessings. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us, for all the provision. Lord, I think about my desk today and the list of requests that come across. Lord, we pray for those that are homeless. We pray for those that are bound under addictions. We pray for those that are brokenhearted. We pray for those that are broken relationships. But Lord, we give you the glory and the praise of those that are healed and being healed. We give you the praise, Lord, for those that are standing up and walking that they were told they would never walk. We praise the Lord for those that can see that was told that they would never be able to see. God, you are a healing God. And by the precious blood of Jesus, the healing comes for us. And we will give you the glory and the praise in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church. At New Liberty. I don't know why I added that. Okay. 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest, greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Let us pray.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Kevin Akins. His title for this morning is Faith Maintenance.
Faith Maintenance. Out of the book of Jude, or the letter of Jude, whichever way you want to look at it. We're looking from verse 17 all the way to 25. And we have followed up so far with praying in the Holy Spirit. And that is the first step of faith maintenance that's required. You got to have faith maintenance. Then you must pray in the Holy Spirit. No matter what branch of God's army that you want to call yourself in, we all have the Holy Spirit. Pray in that Holy Spirit. Don't just let it set and be dormant down inside. Let it come alive. Now, the second one is as powerful, too. And the second routine maintenance for this faith maintenance that we need, it's keeping yourself in the love of God. In verse 21, this is the word that he said so often, and I know that it goes into a couple. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves, he makes that plural, in the love of God. So he was talking to the whole group. He's talking to a group of people, not so much as an individual. Now, I know that you can split this in the grammar text that it is, that it could be keep yourselves, and he's saying it personally to each individual. But somehow I see it as he's speaking to this group of people, and he's saying, y'all have to love one another. And the reason why, I say, he probably didn't say y'all, but he said, y'all got to love one another. And the reason why I'm saying that is because that is God's greatest command. In the Old Testament, Jesus announces it and promotes it even more in the New Testament. And if God and Jesus are going to promote this, we've got to love one another. In the Old Testament prophecies, it is amazing to me how often the prophets came back to say, God's punishing you because you didn't love other people. God's bringing discipline on you because you didn't love other people. Jesus comes into the New Testament, and you know what makes him most angry about the hierarchy in the religious system? They didn't love other people. They loved themselves, and it was all about themselves and making themselves money, and that's what aggravated Jesus. And people say, well, Jesus didn't get mad. Yes, he did too get mad. He cleaned the house a couple of times. He was aggravated. But matter of fact, I read a scripture just Sunday that when the disciples rebuked the parents from bringing their children to Jesus, the scripture says that Jesus was very displeased with those disciples. It means that he got angry with them. Why? Because they didn't love the others. So when Jude comes in and he says, this is a faith maintenance for you, keep yourself in the love of God. And God's love is loving other people. Loving other people. I want to take you through the gospel, not the gospel, but to the letters of 1 John. I want to take you in 1 John. I want to give you just a couple of scriptures and just hold on, because these just get me bubbling on the inside. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it's John coming on, and this is what he says. He says, but whoever keeps his word, God's word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. You cannot keep the love of God being perfected inside of you if you're not reading God's word. You got to get back into reading God's word. And listen, I've heard all the excuses. I don't have time to read. I get sleepy when I read. I don't know how to read. I'm not interested in reading. I can't follow track on reading. Listen, give all those excuses that you want to give. I get it. Find a way. Get it on cassette. Did you hear that? It almost came out. You can tell my age away. Get it on a digital format. Get it into your phone. Connect it somehow. And when you're driving for that 30 minutes to go get a slushy at Sonic, listen to the Bible. Get a scripture down in your heart. Find it. We got to get back into the Word of God. It is so important. I'm going to read that to you again. This is 1 John 2, 5. Whoever keeps his word, whoever keeps God's word. The whole book of Psalms is about keeping God's word. The whole book of Proverbs is about keeping God's word. The whole four Gospels is about keeping the commandments of God. Friends, how important is it that we keep God's word? Listen, you want to overcome and you want to be presented faultless with great joy by the Lord? Then he gives you a maintenance routine. And the maintenance routine is reading the Bible. That's your maintenance. How hard is that? No busted knuckles. No grease under the fingernails. Let's see. No dust in the eyes. I'm trying to think of all the different things that you have to maintenance, all the different things. You know, there's no hard to it. There's nothing hard about reading the Bible except staying awake. Get you a strong energy drink. Get you a strong cup of coffee. People tell me, I can't sleep at night. Read your Bible. It'll put you to sleep. It just happens. Let me go to another one, all right? You got it. You go, okay, Pastor, I got it. Read my Bible. Read my word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. You want to know about the true love. You want to know about God's real love. Look at this, 1 John 4, 9. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. This tells where it is, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world. I got it. It's Jesus. Yes, God sent us Jesus that we might live through him. There's the maintenance right there. That's the maintenance side. Living through Jesus, letting Jesus guide your steps, letting Jesus conquer your problems, letting Jesus help fight your battles, letting Jesus direct your thoughts, letting Jesus control your mouth. Oh, heaven help us. Let Jesus control your mind. Let Jesus control your heart. Man, there's so many people that need the love of Jesus today. I know this sounds cruel. I don't mean it to sound cruel. There are so many people. They don't need your money, and they don't need your respect. They care less about your opinion. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Stop trying to win them over to some other kind of mindset or world direction. Just tell them about Jesus and let Jesus do it. Live through Jesus. That you go, Pastor, what's that doing? That's maintenancing your faith. Because when you start letting Jesus take control of your situations, you're going to see things happen that you're going to say that would have never happened. That's what makes living a Christ life, a Christian life. That's what makes it so exciting. is seeing Jesus do incredible things. You know, out of the Bible tells us that out of the mouth of babes becomes perfected praise. And I always wondered what that really means, because those little kids are just so truthful. They're just so real. They're just so honest. I mean, they're the ones that'll look at you and say, your pants are too short. They're just, I mean, they're right there. They just, well, thank you. But, you know, you just don't know what to say to them all the time. But those little kids, when they get a hold of Jesus and they begin to pray and weep and cry and they're calling on Jesus. And I got to tell you, there's nothing that'll break your heart more when you know the family life home style of this little baby, this little child, and this child is praying in a language that you can understand. And their little voice says, Jesus, please touch mommy. Jesus, please help daddy. And you just go, yes, that's the heart of a child. Because the rest of us are saying, Lord, just take them out of here. And that's not right. That's not what we should be praying. But not that child. That child saying, please touch mommy. Please touch daddy. That's what makes the difference. That's a love of God that we've got to find. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This world is producing hatred. I get it. This world's producing racism, this gendered separation, all this stuff. There's so much ugly hatred is coming out of this world. We've got to figure out how to love people. There are people that are living in sin, confused and deceived in that sin, but the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to hate that person. We just hate that sin that they're trapped in. And that is difficult to do. It's when somebody's making strong accusations against you, or they're trying to cause you to be faultful, and that creates that anger, animosity, anxiousness inside of you, then what do? You love that person. Look past the comments, look past the statements, and love the person. Get back to loving the people. Let me give you one more in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Did you know that he added that in there? There's a lot of people just now went, now do what? Is that really what that is? Keep his commandments, but don't allow those commandments to be burdensome. Well, now, wait a minute. Why did he have to put that in there? Because he knows that keeping those commandments oftentimes become a burden. We start walking around like, well, I no. Here's the one that I hear all the time. I don't necessarily like you, but I love you because God tells me to. Are you really keeping the commandments? You're not loving them through God. You're loving them through the world. That doesn't work. That doesn't help. That's not accredited to you. You have just faulted the system. If you want your faith to rise to the level where your faith must be, then it's got to be maintained. You've got to maintain that love of God constantly, continually, regularly walking in the love of God, keeping yourself, I'm sorry for tapping on the table. They're probably hearing that out there. Keeping yourself under the maintenance of the love of God. You have to do it. It's not just going to happen. You don't just flip a switch, become a Christian, and start praying in the Holy Spirit and walking around in the love of God. Man, how great it would be if that would happen, wouldn't it? Let me just make this one-time prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Hey, that works. That's what he wants. Lord, come into my life and change me. That's exactly what he wants. How great it would be right there if we got knocked out for 30 minutes and he redesigned our brain and our heart, and then we came back up 30 minutes later and we really are that totally changed mindset individual. No, that's not how it works. Our God is not a puppet master. He gives us a free will to make a choice and to live our life. Therefore, he says, pray in the Holy Spirit and keep yourself in the love of God. Now, let me show you one more, okay? Let me show you one more. The third routine maintenance is found right here in verse 21. And looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I have struggled with this one so long because I want to take that statement. I want to take that segment of that sentence. And I want to break it up into about five pieces. Looking for the mercy. What are you watching for every day? Are you just living your life, going through routine? Are you just going through the practice? Let me just bring it back to Sunday morning at church. Are you just going through that regular routine, ritual, religious ritual called church? Is that what you're doing? Or are you looking for the mercy? Listen, we're not all perfect. We all have our faults, but one day the Lord's going to present me faultless. Is he going to present you faultless? Then how's he going to do it? I'm going to maintain my faith. I'm going to have my faith in him. How do you have the faith? I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be keeping myself in the love of God through all the things that I do. I want to do it through the love of God. And I'm going to constantly be looking for the mercy that changes me, because I want to have mercy on people that wrong me. I want to have mercy on people that come against me. And listen, this is the hard part of being a Christian, because there are specific, outspoken individuals that are defiant against Christianity. They're defiant against God. They're defiant against the church. Nope, not going to have anything to do with church. And I find it amazing how someone can say, I'm not having anything to do with the church anymore. All the pastors are liars, but I'm okay with Christ. And I'm going, no, you're not. No, you're not. Somebody needs to tell you the truth. Somebody needs to really open the door and show you once again that you've missed something in here. We've got to look for the mercy, the mercy. Let me share with you in a minor prophet in the Old Testament. It's a small book, not very many chapters, and it's Micah. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8. In Micah was coming along, and he was actually prophesying to Israel. He was actually prophesying to all of Israel, all the children of Israel. And so he was getting both categories, and he spoke to them, and he said, this is what the Lord requires of you. And there's some scholars want to think that, well, that was just the Lord speaking through the prophet telling them what they needed to do for that time. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. That was a gift of the Holy Spirit so that it could be written down on parchment paper so that you and I would know what God desires from us. This is what God requires in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what he requires of you. You must do justly. Do what's right. Stop cutting the corners. Stop cheating. Stop lying. Stop stealing. Stop disrespecting your parents. It doesn't matter how old your parents are or how old you are. You are to honor your parents. Stop doing that. Follow those commandments. We just read it in the previous. Obey the commandments. Continually do them. Don't let them be a burden on you. Let those commandments be with you, saying, these are positive commandments. Yeah, but every one of them says, thou shalt not. Hallelujah, they say that. Because now I know what not to do. So just keep moving. Making it happen. Do justly. Love mercy. Love mercy. Is this love mercy. Find it in your heart. Just love mercy. Learn how to give a gift. Learn how to give something. Learn how to have gratitude for receiving something. Love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. One of the things that God despises is pride. You can read it in Proverbs. He hates it. He hates pride. You can read it in the book of James. He hates it. Matter of fact, James even says, if you're not getting your prayers answered, check your pride level, because God actually resists the proud. He resists them. He pushes them away. And you think that God's not going to push anybody away. Oh, yeah? You be prideful and arrogant and think that you got all the answers, and he's going to push you away and let you find where you really stand. Look for the mercies and do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Let me show you another one in Matthew. This is another scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. We're looking for the mercy. We're looking for the mercy. This was Jesus' teaching, and he was teaching his disciples, and he was telling his disciples, you guys still don't get it. You're wanting somebody to come back and beg you for forgiveness just so that you can say, well, I sacrificed and forgave them. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm looking for. Go and learn what this means. This is Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Verse 13, go and learn. Here's that learning thing again. Let the Holy Spirit teach you in that hour. Go and learn what this means. Jesus says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You got to learn that mercy in that. It's not that, it's where the Lord is coming from. He desires that mercy. And if he desires it, he wants it to be on us, on our side. There were so collective. They learned, loved to have their church. Now, this is back in Matthew. This is early Jesus is saying, you guys are coming to the synagogue because you are doing your regular, religious, routine ritual that they called prayer meeting at that time. And Jesus was saying, y'all are just following your religious regular rules. Please don't get mad at me when I make this statement. Do not allow your Sunday morning service to become, or your Wednesday night service, or any service. Don't let it become a regular religious routine ritual. Oh, it's 9 o'clock. We got to go to church. Oh, it's 6 o'clock. Got to go to church. Oh, it's 7 o'clock. Got to go to church. Oh, we got to go to church. 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 I wish you had that attitude, but I wished it was, we got to go to church so we can meet with God. We got to go to, we get an opportunity to go to church. We've got a blessing to go to church. We have the privilege of going to church. It's not a burden. It's not mandatory. Look for the mercy, the mercy, the mercy. And I want to share one last part with you in verse 22 and 23 of the book of Jude that we're reading. I want to get this over again. I want you to see verse 22 and 23. Because Jude actually says these statements. This is true definition of mercy. This is mercy, and on some, have compassion. There are some that are so defiant against the church, they're angry against the church, and you're wasting your compassion. They just need Jesus. Tell them Jesus and move on, and let Jesus break them down. But on others, have compassion. Have compassion. I don't know any greater way to describe this than possibly the times that you're going into the city, and you see those transits that are setting on the curbs, and you know, and I don't know, sometimes my heart says, all right, man, I'm giving him the change in my compartment, or I'm gonna share with this one or share with that one. And then there's other times that I'm going, no, that sign alone just does it, you know. I'm not there. I'm not gonna do that. On some, have compassion, making a distinction. How do you make that distinction? Praying in the Holy Spirit and keeping yourself in the love of God and looking for mercy. That's the only way you're going to know which ones to have compassion on and which ones not to. How do you make that distinction? I'm telling you, keep your faith maintained. Get your faith back up to the level where it needs to be. Have that faith maintenance to where you are watching that. You're praying in the Holy Spirit. You are keeping yourself in the love of God, and you're looking for the mercy. Now, let's go on. Look, making a distinction. But others, save with fear. Man, there are some that need to be reached now. Their life is at stake. Their soul is at stake. There are some that need to be touched now. There's some that need to be reached out to now. And you got to know which one that is. You got to know when that opportunity is now to make that difference. And the only way to do it is that your faith level is up. And I got to read this next part. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. The stuff that they're wrapped in, I don't care for at all, but that person I'm going to care about. The stuff they're wrapped up in, I don't care. I don't care. That makes some people mad, and I get that. I don't care what they're wrapped up in. I care about that person. Sometimes we're put into situations to where we need to be in a particular place because there's a person that's wrapped up in a whole bunch of defiled garments in this world, and what they need is Jesus. And do we have that compassion? Do we have that faith? Do we have that love of God? Do we have that mercy that is there? Is it a part of us to reach out to them? Is it a part of us to save them? Is it a part of us? And I know we don't save anybody. I know that Christ saves them, but it could be our word. We are the hands of Christ. We are the feet of Christ. We are the eyes of Christ. We are the heart of Christ. If we're not, then are we the body of Christ at all? Where is our faith? Our faith is dissolving. I have said it for years and years. I understand John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come to give us life, and life far more abundant. But how do we have that abundant life if we're continually being robbed by the thief? Then there's got to be some definition in there to where we draw the line and say, that thief cannot rob me today. Why? Because the one who stands beside me is far more powerful than the one that's in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world system. It's the word coming back alive inside of us again. That word has got to be part of us. It's got to make that difference. Others save with fear. Save them. Now's the time. Once you get that in your heart, that's when you conclude or you end with this statement. This is the best way to end this message. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the very presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Right now and forever. Today and tomorrow. He's a God. He is so, so God. He is the God of today and tomorrow. Please maintain your faith. Get back in the Word of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God and look for the mercy. Maintain your faith. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for our Christian believers today, that today they will reach down into their heart and they will say, God, move me from where I have been sitting in my comfort zone for too long and move me to a place of faith. Lord, let me walk by faith, live by faith, love by faith. Lord, let me hear your words that'll move me. Show me your ways that'll move me. Show me, oh Lord, all that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Yes, and amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Kevin Akins. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.